Welcome to the Consciousness Anywhere and Everywhere podcast. I am Shannon O'Hara, and I invite you to a completely new world of possibilities.
Hello, hello, hello. How does it get better than this? I'm so excited, you guys. We have a super special podcast coming from you from literally the construction at the property at El Lugar in Costa Rica. And today we're going to talk about the creation of this incredible resource, which has been fully funded by the economy of consciousness, called El Lugar, the place. And I'm joined today by the three amazing wizards who are on the ground making this magic happen for all of us every day. I'm here with Claudia.
Hi.
David Caddy.
Hi.
And David Kubis.
Hello.
So we've got the Jefa, the builder, and the negotiator. So we've been having some awesome, Max and I have been here for a couple of days. You guys have been showing us around. We've gotten to see all the progress of the project. So what are you guys most excited about right now with what's going on with El Lugar?
Everything.
So tell, say more.
Well, I'm really excited about the forest for future,
right.
Nature.
So
everything that has
let me say, so Claudia took Max and I out yesterday to the reforestation part of the property, and you guys are going to be seeing some video content from that that Max and I are going to make for all of you guys. We saw all the new baby trees being planted. You gave us tons of information about the sort of long-term prospectus of what's going on with all that. So yes, I know I'm also personally very excited about that. So what else is going on here, guys?
So what I'm personally really excited about it is that we are about a year from finishing construction, opening the resort. And what is so exciting for me is how you ramp up all of it. It's like, you know, when a baby is born, 2 months before you start buying clothes, you start furnishing
right.
the room.
Right.
And this is the phase where I think we're in. It's about to happen. So there is so many things to think of, to create, from the process of checking in the hotel, room service, promotion, decoration, construction, planning. All this is happening, and it's a year from now, so it's this kind of wow.
Yeah, I love that way of putting it. It is totally the anticipation of a new baby coming into existence. And I am really, it's amazing to see this being created right now, because I remember sitting at a table in a restaurant with my father in Italy. Simone Millicis was there, and we were talking about El Lugar, and this would have been 10, 12 years ago. And he was like, I really want this to occur. And I remember in that moment, I actually made a really big commitment that this was going to exist. I had no idea how I was going to show up. So it's crazy walking around the property and seeing all the buildings going up. So David Caddy, can I tell the listeners a little bit of juicy info about what I think is super amazing about having you on this project? So David Caddy, who is the silent Scotsman in the corner, who we might get to hear from, is actually the son of the founders of Finnhorn. And David was part of building that community and that project in Scotland. And if you guys don't know what Finnhorn is, go online and Google it. A lot of you listening to this podcast probably do know what Finnhorn is. They are a community in Scotland that definitely works with the earth spirits for living. So it's really awesome and beautiful to get to have you part of building this magical kingdom here in Costa Rica. So what is it when you look at building? What is it you're looking at? What do you know? What is it that you're aware of as possible here?
Well, the building has to fit on the land, has to fit in the climate. So many times we've gone around the property and it's all these little casitas, and we've changed where they go and what the views are out of the window. But so I guess I look at the building as part of the environment. So I want people, when they come, to have to let nature be an experience for them. So
yeah.
It's not just a hotel room. It has to take in the whole environment.
Which I think sounds normal to you. And what I love about the way that you build is that your houses, I've been in many of the houses that you've built and lived in over the years, and the way that you build and the sort of natural ethos of your building philosophy is so nourishing because it is with nature. And where I actually was inspired to do this podcast with you guys was I thought initially we were going to talk about the interesting different sort of green ways in which the green building that's going on here, which I would actually love to share with everyone listening, because those of you guys out there that are interested in green building, we're applying a lot of interesting sort of old green technology and future green technology that's coming. Can you tell us a little bit about the reed sewer system that's being put in for the property?
Well, so the sewer systems, our idea was is to go with no power needed. So all the sewer system is fed by gravity, and then the breakdown of the solids is done by anaerobic process, and the purification of the water is done by plants, which, I mean, the system's been around a long way, and in nature it works in a long way. It's just taking it and putting it into a form that there's a concentrated amount of shit that hits the treatment plant, so you've got to purify it a little quicker than nature would like to do it.
Right. So putting it into a property of this size is sort of an interesting experiment. It'll be amazing to see how it works, and yes, we'll just have to keep creating with it as it goes. And this is basically the first sewer reed treatment plant of its kind using Costa Rica for a property this size. Is that correct?
I would say yes.
Yeah. So we're on the cutting edge, which is super exciting because yes, we're going to create some precedent for how you can handle in this building, in this climate. Tell us a little bit more. Can one of you tell us a little bit more about how electricity is going to be generated on the property, and what are some of the technologies that we're looking at there?
Well, Costa Rica has its electricity is produced 99% from renewable resources. So it's a very environmentally friendly source of power. But for me, you still have to pay attention to the use of power, because if you have to produce more and more, even if it's sustainable, it still has an effect on the earth. And so here we're integrating solar panels. We're integrating a kind of new technology, thermodynamic panels for heating water, which requires less energy and uses basically like a fridge, but in backwards. And also in the environment, everybody jumps to air conditioning. So that I always want every house to have a choice, so that you don't need to do that, but you can enjoy the sounds of birds, which you probably can hear in the background. In that way, it saves on energy too.
Beautiful. Exactly. And that's what's so sort of exciting here is we're not looking at giving up our future, our current comforts. You know, mm-hmm. We're looking at how can we integrate the most comfortable way of living in this hot, jungly environment and climate, which is Serrapique, Costa Rica, which is highly wet, highly warm, highly beautiful, and highly bioactive. How do we incorporate the comforts that we love and work with this beautiful land? So that's what I'm really excited about this project. I'm a real green building geek. Like, I so love learning about all of the cool new technologies that are being brought forward to work with the environment rather than the use of the environment. So that's one aspect of this project that's so exciting. The other aspect of this project that I think is so exciting is how this property, which is something that we were discussing before we started recording, is essentially being generated from something that I would call the economy of consciousness. So a project of this nature would usually in this reality require bank loans, funding, a prospectus, a plan, this, that, the other. You know, if any of you guys have built a resort, you know what we're talking about. And if you haven't built a resort, trust me, there's a lot of effing logistics. And what's so different about David, do you want to talk a little bit about what's different about this?
I'm the project manager. I'm also the lawyer of this project. I'm a lawyer in this reality. And I started doing it as you do with business plans and with all getting all the permits and the building permission. And it's no question you need this in order to build a resort. And it's quite complicated in Costa Rica because they have their own ministry for protecting the environment, and we are building very close to a national park. So the logistics and the bureaucracy we had to go through was incredible.
Right. Which is sort of a blessing and a curse, because we love that they're protecting the national park, which, by the way, a lot of this property is in the national park. So that's what's another really special thing about this place.
And what actually blew my mind was, no matter how complicated and difficult it was, there was always something showing up that made it easier at the end. And that's where I got a, wait a minute, we planned it this way, we were prepared for the worst case, and now this, what?
So can you give an example?
Yeah, for example, we need a building permit authorized by Setena, which is this ministry for green for building in a national park. And they discovered that we have water wells on the property, and there is a setback area, 50 meters around each well, you cannot build. And there is a little lagoon on that property. So the area where we could initially build on was reduced, because there was so much of this protection area around the water on the property. And then when we almost got our permit, Setena said, no, we need to check a little deeper. There might be more. Mm-hmm. And everybody went into, oh, my God, Setena might close that site for construction because there's too much water wells. At the end, they found out that our little lake, our little lagoon, is not a lagoon, that it isn't a well, that all of this is just a little creek running through the property. And the setback area of creeks is not 50 meters, it's 10 meters. So the building area from one moment to the other totally increased. We could spread out all the buildings. So we could actually gain 50% of the land back for construction rather than losing it all. So them sending their own inspector, trying, they probably didn't try to stop the project, but they wanted to make sure we protect nature, backfired in a good way, and nobody could believe it. And this is just one of the magical moments. Yes. The time waiting for this news that it's not going to be shut down, that it's kind of a creek, was difficult at the beginning. But
nature has its own timing and its own pace.
When I got that phone call, oh, my God, it's a creek, it's just the other way around. Nothing of those worst cases happening. It's even way easier now. This is just one example. And we could continue this story with the water well, with the municipality, with everything. I mean, it was just, you couldn't, it was too good to be expected what is showing up here.
Well, and that's why the philosophy of this project is essentially rooted in all of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory.
Exactly.
So that's the forerunner. So Claudia, you were actually the person who found this property. How did that happen?
The property found me.
Okay.
I was looking all over Costa Rica to get a property.
Because Dad was like, let's find something.
Yes. So I was almost in my way out of Costa Rica with someone that we knew before from one of the resorts we were. Called me and said, I know you're looking for a place in Costa Rica, but I didn't even tell that person I was looking for something.
Right.
He just called me and he said, well, do you want to go and check it out today? I was heading to the airport. My flight was like soon.
Right.
So I said, okay. I was pretty close to the property. So I came to the property and it was super close to another one that I already checked. Mm. It's actually our neighbor.
Okay.
And when I saw that property, it was like, it's nice. And there's something about this property. It feels, and I'm going to use a weird word for land, but it feels raped to me.
Right.
It feels raped.
Really abused. Yeah.
Very, very abused. So I was like, oh, maybe it's the one I saw before. And then we turned before getting to that one. And we're like, oh, this is different.
Different.
Oh, this is nice. And the minute I opened the door and stepped into the land, the only thing that came to my head was, I'm home.
I'm getting goosebumps on my legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember actually coming here. I mean, I would say that I remember coming to this property years ago before... Well, years ago, when it was, you know, years ago. And I actually would say this property did have less of a raped feeling than a lot of properties, but there was still a real heavy used feeling here. And coming, what I've really noticed coming here now, today, this for these 3 days that we've been here, oh my gosh, has it gotten softer? It's incredible seeing the softness that's come back into the property and all of the hundreds of species of flora and fauna that's been planted and the care that's been going on here for some years now, turning it towards the place for awareness of the earth and working with the resources of East Drawing Glory. So it's been amazing to witness that change in the land.
It is not our destiny to succumb to the destruction of the world. We have a choice to create a future that has greater possibility. What if every single action you take contributes? Actions for Futures is about empowering people to know that they are the ones creating the future. Visit actionsforfutures.com to find out how you can contribute to a more conscious future.
So part of that change in the land is that we, before we started construction, we hired a gardener, and he today has a team of eight people working here. And we don't build the resort and then send a gardener kind of to cover up all the damage we did. Our gardeners...
That's correct. Yes. That's when it's exactly right.
Our gardeners are following construction. The minute they are done with digging a trench for a pipe or for a cable, our gardeners come and plant trees, plant grass, and make it beautiful. It doesn't look like a construction site.
It actually doesn't even feel like a construction site here. And what you might hear in the podcast earlier, they were doing some construction on one of the casitas over in the distance. And we thought, well, let's just include that because that's just part of what this is, you know? No, this doesn't feel like a construction site at all. And it is a construction site, but you know, there's people living here full time and the softness of the property is really starting to thrive again.
I just want to add something. Everyone involved in this project loves the project.
Right.
And cares about nature. So that's part of the magic too. Like everyone that gets involved in the project has that. And when they start shifting something, they just leave by themselves.
Right.
It's amazing how nature and the project by itself, it's kind and it invites that to actualize and be that.
Yeah.
And everyone here is that. So that's why we put like the gardeners, they have so much care and so much kindness towards the air too. It's not like, oh, let's just fix this. It's like, okay, how can we contribute to you? And how can we make this better?
And I think they're really excited too, because if they're Costa Rican gardeners, they have a lot of love and affinity for the local flora and fauna. And if none of you guys listening to this have ever been to Costa Rica, the local flora and fauna is like out of this world. Yes. It's highly tropical. There's a huge amount of water. So what we get here is a massive range of species. And we are actually, one of the super exciting things about one of the reforestation projects on this property is the almond trees that are being planted to invite and create a habitat for the macaws, which, David, you were telling me the other day that how many macaws are left in Costa Rica?
There's 1,500.
1,500 left.
Green macaws.
Green macaws. And it's funny that they're called green macaws because they're actually rainbow.
Yes.
They're rainbow-colored, really. Since I've been here for 3 days, the first 2 days I was here, Max and I saw macaws both days. So I know that it's a sign that the macaws are aware that they can come and live here. And so it's just, you know, when there's a group of crazy humanoids that don't know how they're going to do this thing, they get this crazy Viennese lawyer who's like, let's just try. And years later, you know, it's like, just goes to show you, it's like, if you have a vision, it can be created. So we are so excited to invite you all to this amazing place. And David, you know, our perspective is maybe we'll be up and running in a year, year and a half, 2 years, something like that. You know, we were drawing up the plans for for Max and I's personal house today. Thank you so much for the care and awareness and consideration about that, because the possibility here is going to be so much fun and so much freedom.
It's freedom and space. What I get here when I arrive, working here, getting all this task accomplished to move on, it's just so much easier here. It seems like stress doesn't exist.
Yeah. So How's it get better than this? Anything else you want to add?
So just the way in which for the last March, not this past March, the March before, I just knew that I should be here. And so I came in 1st of March having no idea, weren't ready to start, nothing like that.
Wait, can I please tell them the story of how you came? Because remember what happened last March, everybody, guys? So David's sitting at home. Where were you?
Belize.
He was at home in Belize. Okay, so he decides to come here. And what date did you decide to come here?
1st
of March. Then what happened? Then what happened?
2 weeks later, the whole world shut down.
Shut down. So if you had waited, right? And this is, like, you decided to come here, but there was no plan. It wasn't like, okay, we're starting the project now, March 1st. You know, you were just like.
I just had to come.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I didn't know.
So, go on, please.
Well, so during this time, in that meeting that we had just before we started, we changed all of our plans. So we were going to be with this big contractor, way too much money, way too everything. We said, no, we're not doing that. We'll just do it ourselves. So the whole project started in a really slow, gentle way. We put all the roads in first, then we put all the sewer pipes in, but it was a very slow process. You know, not the normal, you go in and you
pound it in and you rip it.
Right.
Smash it in.
You know, and part of that was the COVID and part of it was financing. But in reality, everything just worked out perfectly. In the sense that it was in a natural cycle instead of blasting your way through something. So it's kind of.
And it continues to be that way. And I love that the way you say it, that it occurs in a natural, we're calling it like a natural way, we're calling it Easter and glory, but in truth, it's that like willingness to allow things to work and not force them. Mm-hmm. You took Max and I out on an ATV a couple of days ago and we got down the road and there was a huge tractor in the middle of the road because the surveyor was out in the back 40 and we like stopped and we just sat there and you were like, I'm sure this will work itself out. And then sure enough, 3 minutes later, the track, you know, we were on our way again, but it's that thing of like, instead of coming against the block in the road and trying to force it and be upset about it, the willingness to allow things to work themselves out. And this project is really the living, breathing embodiment of allowing things to work themselves out.
It's also a great addition when you're in Costa Rica. Their one phrase is, pura vida.
Pura vida, pure life. Yeah. So the Costa Rican mentality and ethos is definitely contributing a lot to allowing this to be what it is. And there's no mistake that the place is the place El Hogar is in Costa Rica. I never really understood, to be honest, why it had to be Costa Rica because I don't really like humidity that much, but it's been really cool being here for the last couple of days because every time I complain about sweating down my stomach, sweating down my shins, sweating down to my back, you know, David Caddy's just like, enjoy it. And I'm like, oh yeah, I could just enjoy it. And then I do. And then I completely change my point of view. So it's me being willing to receive nature as it is. And this property is totally contributing to that for me. And I feel so much healthier, so much happier, so much more embodied. Actually, this property taught me something. When we got down here a couple of days ago, Max and I came, and none of you guys were here. So it was sort of like Max and I came without you guys first. And Max and I walked around, and it had been raining and raining and raining. So we went for like this big walk, like in the mud. And by the time I got back to my hotel that night, I was like pretty exhausted, sort of sunburned, blisters, da 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 da. And my dad's like, did the land nurture you? And I'm like, no, you know? And it was interesting because I woke up this morning and we've been on the property now for multiple days in a row doing different things. And I woke up this morning and I realized that, yeah, the land has not only been nurturing my body, but it's teaching me a different way of embodying. And I couldn't see it because I had so many expectations about what nurturing was and how I should be able to access the energy in my body. So this land is teaching me how to access my body from a completely different space. And I'm interested. So what else is possible?
Well, come and visit. That's the best way to find out.
Yes.
You don't have to wait until we open the resort. People are welcome to stay. There are little cabins. There are little hotels around. We are happy to take everyone around and take a tour and spend some time with us to kind of take a sneak peek of what it will be when we finally open in a year and a year and a half from now.
It's hopefully beautiful. We'll have places available before then.
Yeah. Well, those houses, that steel frame on the other ridge, I can't believe how quick that went up. Like, yes. I mean, when I first got here, it was a skeleton, and now it's a fully filled in steel. That was quick. So thank you for that generous invitation. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to create this for everybody out in the world. Everyone out there listening, check out what's the website?
It's l-lugar.com.
L-lugar.com. You can start to check it out there, and we look forward to playing with all of you. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this show. My target is to make consciousness easy to find and choose. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes and share this with somebody who you know who might be looking for more consciousness in their life. You can visit me on shannon-o'hara.com or talktotheentities.com. And to learn more about the amazing tools of Access Consciousness, you can visit accessconsciousness.com and be sure to subscribe to the podcast.